In real life, Gail Esterman works at the Charlottesville nonprofit, Ready Kids. But today, she has a different job.
Hi, my name is Gail Esterman, and I'm the utilities collector.
Esterman is one of more than 60 people gathered in the Charlottesville High School cafeteria on a Saturday for a poverty simulation. Everyone here has taken on a very specific role. For Esterman,
we're collecting payments for gas, electric, and telephone from the families that are needing to pay their bills to keep their utilities on. If they don't have enough money, they may be shut off.
The idea behind the simulation is to give people a concentrated glimpse of what it feels like to navigate a life in poverty. It's being put on by Piedmont CASA, a local nonprofit that works as court-appointed special advocates for abused and neglected children. More than 90% of their clients are in poverty. This year's participants come from all over. Derek Williams is an assistant professor of counselor education at UVA. He came to better understand
the challenges of sort of getting through a day or getting through a week or getting through a month, you know, someone who lives in poverty and having to see life through their eyes. I'm expecting that to realize that there are some things that I take for granted that allows me to get through my day, and which is not the case for Iris.
The Iris that Williams mentions is his character for the day. She's a 19-year-old high school dropout with a 1-year-old son. And everybody here has been given a similar scenario with detailed financial information. And like Esterman as the utilities collector, volunteers man more than a dozen different resource tables along the edges of the cafeteria. The simulation is an hour long and broken up into 4 15-minute periods. Each 15 minutes represents a week during which you use a limited supply of transportation passes to do everyday tasks, all with two goals in mind.
All right, so again, your goals for the week: pay all your bills, and keep a roof over your head. All right, so we're going to start week one now.
First, families look at their bills and how much income they have. They form a plan, and then they fan out across the room. While some pay their utilities...
So gas, 180, and then we're going to say 60 for electric.
And 35 for telephone.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Others go to the grocery store.
All right, transportation pass, please. Thank you very much. All right, well, Scott, your bill for the week would be $110. Do you have EBT? $25, okay. And how would you like to pay for the rest?
In cash.
In cash? All right. So
by the end of week one, difficulties have already started to emerge.
We're currently out of transportation passes. Dad just took the last one to cash his check for the month, but that still won't even be able to get him to the actual company to pay the bill. We'll see. It's going to be a time crunch.
Hopefully mom's paying the rent, because if not, I think we have to go to the homeless shelter.
That's the four-person Locke Lewis family. The 36-year-old dad, Larry, works 40 hours a week, making $8.50 an hour. The family receives $210 a month in food stamps. And the 57-year-old grandfather, Lester, gets $330 a month in disability. That may sound pretty decent, but then consider the $630 mortgage, the $275 in utilities, the $200 monthly car payment, never mind the cost of food, clothing, and medication. It makes mortgage collecting scenarios like this seem all the more understandable.
Locke family, you owe us $630.
And how long do we have to pay for that?
I would start paying now if I were you. We can evict you after this week.
By weeks 3 and 4, as you look around the room, a number of families are going hungry. The long line at the bank is forcing people to the check cashing table, which takes a percentage of their money. Kids have been expelled from school. Utilities have been shut off, and eviction notices are starting to be served, symbolized by turning over the folding chairs that represent participants' homes.
We're being evicted.
Was this your home?
No. This is our home, and they're throwing us out for no reason.
You have not paid your bill?
Towards the end of the final week, stress levels have risen dramatically. A check back with the youngest of the Locke Lewis family.
I don't know where my entire family is, and I'm not exactly sure what they're doing. I'm a little frustrated that my mom and dad don't seem to be able to pay all the bills, and I haven't eaten in over a week.
As the month of poverty comes to an end, participants gather to share what they learned. One woman reflects on how little time families in poverty have to spend with each other and how this exacerbates stress levels. Another agrees, saying that within the span of just 1 hour, she noticed a shift within herself.
I became rude, and I'm not normally that way, because of the stress and the hurry and getting all that done. And then I felt a sense of irrelevance, because it doesn't matter. You know, dignity is gone when you have to go through all this. So it's just like your worth is lost. And that was the saddest aha thing for me.
And that's exactly what Janine Panzera was aiming for. She's the program director for Henrico Casa and the simulation leader for the day.
I always hope that folks walk away, if nothing else, with being a little more empathetic to those individuals. Certainly sympathy is helpful as well, but if you can have some empathy for the folks who are dealing with this day in, day out, month after month, I think it should be eye-opening to understand that we shouldn't be very quick to judge, and we should be more concerned about trying to assist and help those individuals by learning a little bit more about what they need and who they are and what their circumstances have been and where they've come from.
For WMRA News, I'm Jordy Yeager.